got me the strangest woman. Believe me, this chick's no cinch, but I really get her going when I take out my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. The band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. Tried to tease her, I gave her a little pinch, but she said, now stop that jiving and get out that big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. I cover her with kisses when we're in a lover's clinch, and when she gets all excited, she begs for my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves that big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. Don't go for smoking, and liquor just makes her flinch. Seems she just goes for nothing except my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues.
Hey, you're listening to Rock and or Roll. I'm BJ, and that song we just heard is called Big 10-Inch Record. It was written by Fred Weissmantle and recorded by Bull Moose Jackson, released by King Records in 1952. The song's obvious double entendre references the original 78 RPM records, which first appeared in the early 1900s. These discs were initially made of a mixture of shellac, which is an animal-based resin secreted by an insect, wax, cotton, and slate. So a mixture of those four materials is how the original discs were created, and they could really only hold one song per side of these 10-inch discs. A shortage of resin during World War II prompted manufacturers to seek out a cheaper material to make records out of, and they started using vinyl, or polyvinyl chloride, or PVC. They also started making these discs 12 inches in diameter instead of 10 inches in diameter. And with the invention of microgroove and the arrival of the first modern record players, 78 RPM records began to be phased out. The first microgroove vinyl records were marketed in 1948. Their acoustic and technical superiority over 78 RPM shellac records immediately became a selling point. Vinyl records have a much finer grain, and they allow for narrower and closer grooves to be cut. The use of a synthetic thermoplastic material instead of a wax-based, shellac-based material significantly increased the sound quality by reducing background noise and increasing frequency response, dynamic range, and the running time could be increased. So the running time of a side of a record went from less than 5 minutes per side for a 10-inch 78 to 30-plus minutes per side on a 33 RPM 12-inch vinyl record. So when Bull Moose Jackson was singing about his big 10-inch record, he was referencing something everyone in 1952 was very familiar with. A 10-inch in diameter, 78 RPM, shellac, wax, cotton, slate record, which people kept in special albums, pages with sleeves that they could page through like a book, which is why records also came to be called albums. Bull Moose Jackson recorded Big 10-Inch Record with backing from the Tiny Bradshaw Band. Coincidentally, Tiny Bradshaw co-wrote and was the first to record Train Kept a Rollin'. This is an interesting coinkydink, because as you probably know, Aerosmith would release a cover version of both songs, Big 10-inch Record and Train Kept a Rollin'. Bo Moose Jackson was born Benjamin Clarence Jackson in Cleveland in 1919. His parents tried to get him to learn to play violin, but young Benjamin was drawn to the saxophone and the big band sound. He started his first band, the Harlem Hotshots, when he was still in high school. He would eventually join a successful professional band led by Lucky Millinder. It was the musicians in this band that would give him the nickname Bull Moose because they thought he looked like a moose. Apparently he wasn't too offended because he kept the name, used it as his stage name when he went solo. In 1947, Bull Moose Jackson's recording of a song called I Love You, Yes I Do would become the first rhythm and blues single to sell a million copies. As for Aerosmith, it was a hanger-on named Zunk Bucher who introduced them to the song Big 10-inch Record. Zunk was a tour manager, promoter type, perhaps more importantly, maybe a procurer of narcotics. He heard Bull Moose Jackson's Big 10-inch Record on Dr. Demento's radio show, sent a tape of the song to Steven Tyler, who was out on tour struggling to come up with material for the band's third album. So that's the story of Bull Moose Jackson's Big 10-inch Record. And why am I talking about Bull Moose Jackson's Big 10-inch Record? Because I happen to have a big 10-inch collection. Well, not that big, but I have enough 10-inch records to fill an episode. So that's what this episode is going to be. A collection of songs from my big 10-inch collection.
Yeah.
That was a song by Cheap Trick called Can't Hold On, recorded live at Budokan, but not released until 1980 on a 10-inch called Found All the Parts. You see, in 1979, Epic Records had an idea. Let's bring back the 10-inch format. They called the gimmick New Discs, N-U Discs, and released a series of 10-inch EPs. They would use this gimmick to try to get some attention for some of their newer signings, but they kicked off the marketing campaign with two of the label's more relevant acts in 1980, Cheap Trick and The Clash. The 10-inch new disc EP, Black Market Clash, was compiled from UK singles and B-sides, including this, the B-side of the Complete Control single from 1977, a Clash song called City of the Dead. Now we're going to hear a few of those bands that were lesser known, maybe new signings to the Epic label. And so this gimmick of releasing these 10-inch records was maybe a way to try to get some attention for these lesser known bands. First off, we're going to hear a band called Propaganda from their new disc 10-inch that they named Calling on Moscow. Four songs on this record. This is a song called Something About You I Don't Like.
Would you like to step inside my shoes?
Another of these new disc 10 inches was by a band called New Music. That's music with a K. They called their 10-inch Straight Lines. Once again, four songs on this record by New Music. This is a song called Living by Numbers. One last song from one of these new disc 10-inch records that Epic Records released in 1980. This is a band called The Continentals. They named their 10-inch Fizz Pop. Once again, four songs. This was produced by Tommy Ramone. This is a song called Housewives Delight. Up next is a band called The New Cats. Once again, that's N-U, just like New Disc, but this is a band called The New Cats. So the leader of this band, Freddie Mower, was born in Minneapolis. He had a band called Skogie. They put out a single in June of 72, and that's a good single. And then with the help of their producer-manager, David Zimmerman, whose brother was a guy named Robert Zimmerman from Minneapolis, Robert Zimmerman, Skogie had a self-released full-length album in 1974. In 1976, Freddie Mower decided to move to Los Angeles, along with his wife and the rest of his band. But there were some personnel changes once they got there, and they changed the name of the band to The Cats, with a K. They were popular on the Sunset Strip. In fact, Brian Slagle, the founder of Metal Blade Records, he mentions The Cats in his book about the history of Metal Blade, because he was a big fan. They signed a record contract with Infinity Records in 1979, and they recorded an album. But Infinity Records went under, and the parent company, MCA, passed on the record. So, completely finished, recorded, done album by The Cats has never been released. So this is 1979. Freddie Mower, who's 29, meets a 16-year-old named Demetria Demi Guinness at a nightclub. They move in together and they married a few months later. So Demi Guinness became Demi Mower. Actually, they were both married when they met, I think, even though Demi was 16. This is her second marriage. I think she's 17 by the time they get married. So Freddie Mower, he keeps pursuing music in LA, even after the debacle of the record deal and the album that never comes out. Replaces a couple members in The Cats, and that's when they call it The New Cats. So it's N-U-K-A-T-S. And in 1980, long story long, Rhino Records puts out a 10-inch by The New Cats called Plastic Facts. Now, the next year after this 10-inch comes out, the band broke up, so didn't last long. But we're going to hear a song from that 10-inch record by The New Cats. It's called I Was a Teenage Shoplifter. Okay, so like I was talking about, the 10-inch format was pretty much phased out. That was the early format for 78s back in the day, but 60s and 70s, 10 inches didn't really exist. Epic Records tried to bring it back as a gimmick, didn't really work. But in the 90s, 10-inch records made a big comeback in the 90s on indie labels. So most of the 10 inches that I own are from the 90s, and they are indie rock. A lot of great songs. So that's what we're going to hear basically for the rest of the episode, are songs from my 90s, mostly indie rock 10-inch records. And we're going to start off with a long song, but a great song, by Built to Spill. This EP was called Built to Spill Caustic Resin, and it was kind of a collaboration between Built to Spill and another band called Caustic Resin. This 10-inch EP came out in 1995, and the first song on the record, amazing song. So this is Built to Spill, which is basically Doug March and Brett Nelson and the guys from Caustic Resin. This is called When Not Being Stupid Is Not Enough. Thank you. One of my very favorite bands from the 90s, Built to Spill, is one of my favorite bands from the 90s. Another band, actually I'm a bigger fan of this band even, a band called Arches of Loaf out of North Carolina. They had a 10-inch EP in 1994, 5-song EP, probably one of my favorite releases ever. Love this EP so much. It came out in between Icky Metal and Vivi, and this is a fucking masterpiece. I love this. You're going to hear two songs because they go together. There's no pause in between these songs. And both of these songs I love. So this is Arches of Loaf from their 10-inch Arches of Loaf versus the Greatest of All Time. Came out on Alias Records in 1994. Going to hear the lowest part is Free and Freezing Point.
Too much shit in my head, so I can die.
Vitreous Humor were a early emo band from Topeka, Kansas. They put out a few singles, and they had this self-titled EP that came out as a 10-inch. Produced by Bob Weston. I love this record. I love this song. This is the first song on the Vitreous Humor 10-inch. This is called She Eats Her S's. Cracker Bash were a Portland, Oregon punk pop trio formed in 1989. They had a self-titled record on Empty Records. Then they put out a 10-inch EP called Tin Toy. They're from Portland. Portland was kind of the next big thing after Seattle, kind of tied to Seattle. Lots of great bands from Portland. I love Pond. I liked Hazel and Sprinkler. And Portland had tons of great bands just like Seattle. Anyway, Cracker Bash, cool band. Let's hear a song from their 10-inch Tin Toy. This is called Orion, parentheses, Stargazer. We'll be right back. Jay Church is an American punk band out of San Francisco, formed by vocalist, guitarist Lance Hahn in 1992. His previous band was called Cringer. And he named this band after, I think, a subway stop or a metro stop in San Francisco. Church Street, where the band used to practice, something like that. I saw this band in Madison in the basement of a church, actually. I think it was a church. Yeah, I remember another band that played on that bill. Me and my roommate, we laughed our asses off because the singer said, "This is a song about when I used to cut myself with this knife." I still remember that. I think that was the same show where I saw Jay Church. I think I even bought this record at that show, this 10-inch by Jay Church. It's called The Procession of Simulacra / Map Precedes Territory. Now, that's a quite pretentious name for a 10-inch, I must say. I don't think I have anything else by Jay Church, but I bought this record at the show and always liked the first song on this record quite a bit. So this is a song by Jay Church. This came out on Jade Tree in 1995, this 10-inch. This song is called Fascist Radio. Up next, one of my favorite bands of all time. Someday, I'm hoping to devote an entire episode of the podcast to this band, if I can do it upright. This band's from San Diego, called Rocket from the Crypt. And in 1995, they put out two albums and a 10-inch. Unbelievable material. So, just in what a year for Rocket from the Crypt. The records were called Hot Charity and Scream Dracula Scream. And then this 10-inch, which came out on Sympathy for the Record Industry. It's called The State of Art is on Fire. I know I played the first song from this record on one of the 2-minute warning episodes because it's less than 2 minutes long. Let's hear another song from Rocket from the Crypt, from a 10-inch called The State of Art is on Fire. This is a song called Human Torch. Another day. Flop is the next band, and you might have heard the episode I recorded with the leader of this band, Rusty Willoughby. So what happened with these guys is they had a record on an indie label, Frontier. Then they got signed by Epic, I think. Yeah. And they had a major label album, amazing record, but no promotion, nothing. They end up right back at Frontier for their third album. I can't think of, Mudhoney did that, I think. They went major, then they went, ended up back on Sub Pop, but it took longer. This was a band that was just like, major, back. So the third album by Flop, World of Today, on the vinyl version, at least the vinyl version that came out back then that I have, is a 10-inch. So let's hear a song from that 10-inch version of World of Today, the third album by Flop. This is called Waste of Space. This next band is a pop punk band that formed in Milwaukee in 2006. This is a 10-inch EP I have by them called Creepshow. Actually, my wife saw this band recently with some other bands. She came home with this 10-inch, and I dig this song. So this is a Milwaukee band called Avenues, and this is a song called Out of Sight. We'll be right back. Up next, Jimmy Eat World. Now, the story behind this 10-inch record is interesting. It's on the label Fueled by Ramen, which was a label that was started by the ska band Less Than Jake. Now it's a huge label. They have 21 Pilots. I think Panic at the Disco, too. So they're huge now, but it was just an indie label back then. And, you know, Jimmy Eat World had a record on Capitol called Static Prevails, amazing album. And then they recorded their second album, Clarity, and apparently the label wasn't even sure they were going to put it out. So Fueled by Ramen put out this EP, and it had two songs from Clarity, Lucky Denver Mint and For Me This Is Heaven, and then a few other songs. And I think from coming out in this way, Lucky Denver Mint ended up getting played on K-Rock in L.A., and that kind of spurred the label into releasing Clarity. Like, it was up in the air, apparently. Clarity is a masterpiece. Truly a masterpiece. And apparently it was up in the air with the label if they were even going to release it at all. But this, apparently this 10-inch record helped. Anyways, there's a song on this Jimmy Eat World 10-inch on Fueled by Ramen that's not on anything else, as far as I know. This is a song by Jimmy Eat World from a 10-inch. It's called Softer.
She looks a little bit different now.
Up next is a band from Columbus, Ohio called Moviola. Actually, I played the very first song on this 10-inch on one of the Battleship episodes because somebody, the coordinates that somebody picked on my record shelf hit this record. I love, love, love the first song on this album. This is a 10-inch called Frantic by Moviola. We're going to hear another song from this 10-inch. This came out in 1992, and this is a song by Moviola called Ear to the Wall. Now to play us out.
What does that mean? To play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, one more song for you from a 10-inch record. This is a 10-inch by the Mountain Goats. Came out in 1994 on the Shrimper label. I think this record is worth a lot of money, but I wouldn't sell it because I love it. This is another one that I played a song from this. The first song from this I played on one of the 2-Minute Warning episodes. But we're going to hear another song from this 10-inch by the Mountain Goats called Beautiful Rat Sunset. That's the name of the EP. The name of the song is New Star Song.
I hung pictures of you from every humidity climbed into numbers I don't care to repeat. The air was heavy and the sky was alive, and the Pacific Starlight train wasn't due until 11:45. storms lit up all downtown Reading. There were teenagers in mini trucks coming around every corner. You could taste the adrenaline coming out through their skin. I came to the well-lit doorway of a sheet music store. Saw my face in the glass, sat down in the doorway, and I settled in. I thought about how cold you must be. I thought about things I thought that I'd soon be forgetting. I thought of you up in Canada as the lightning storms lit up all downtown Reading.
Last night. I'll be back.